In 1989, I obtained my driver's license, and the year after, in the fall of 2020, I became a full-time bicycle commuter heading out to classes at the University of British Columbia. And both of these changes, being licensed to drive a car and suddenly having a really expanded understanding of where a bike could take me, a vastly expanded radius of where all it could go, brought two significant changes into my life. The one was that there was suddenly a lot more freedom in what I could do and where I could go. Previously, I was reliant on my feet or the bus system or the generosity of people with cars, to mostly my parents, to take me places. But all of a sudden, I could go almost here, there, and everywhere. The second thing that changed with the driver's license and being on a bike on a regular basis was a new and different kind of anger showed up in my life. This is a kind of anger you may be familiar with by its most magnified form. It even has the name of road rage. There is something about moving around on modern streets that is uniquely aggravating. And I don't know if that's just because it's dangerous, metal crashing into metal, whether it's one car into another, or worse yet, a car into a bike, can send you to the hospital or to the morgue right now, and maybe some reptilian part of our brain, the fight or flight part of our brain, recognizes that. And so we're in a place of fury a lot more easily. Or maybe there's just something about asphalt, about the rules of it, that does not bring out the best in us. The sitting at stop signs and sitting at traffic lights and the aggravating molasses that we call by the strange name volume delays, which just means things are moving slowly and we can't explain why. All of these things are upsetting and, in some cases, even infuriating. I'm glad that in the early 1990s, the smartphone had not been invented and that camcorders were uncommon. As far as I know, there is not video evidence of my behavior back in those days, because it's not behavior I was always proud of. I did a certain amount of yelling at other people on the road. And so I'm thankful there is not video of me with rage and profanity and spit flying out of my mouth as I, you know, accuse other people of whatever transgression that I thought they had engaged in. And in fairness to younger me, sometimes folks actually had done stuff that was foolish or reckless or had put me or other people in danger. Here were people taking stop signs as suggestions. Here were folks merging with, or opening doors in some cases, super dangerous when you're on a bike, with no notion that the shoulder check had ever been invented. On one occasion, thankfully only once in all my years of riding a bike, I got what cyclists call the door prize, where someone flung open a door, I hit it and went over the handlebars. It was not a great experience. But regardless of whether my anger may have had some justification to it, over the years I have engaged in that kind of rage less and less and less. And some of that is probably the mellowing of the years. I'm not 18 or 20 anymore, and much as the ocean takes the hard edges, the sharp edges off of a piece of glass, maybe time has taken some of my edges off. But I think there's actually another reason. I have actually chosen to engage differently on the roads than I did previously. It's a deliberate and examined decision. Be patient, says the Epistle of James. Be patient like the farmer is patient with the seed in the land. Be patient, don't grumble lest you be judged. Be patient, for the Lord is coming. And maybe traffic is kind of a trivial example, a trivial way of talking about the holy patience that James is discussing in this epistle. There's so many things in the world to be angry about and upset about, and perhaps someone driving too fast or parking badly is unworthy of being the example that we use to talk about patience. But it's an everyday example, and it's a real one. And maybe how we engage with other people on the roads is a sacrament. Maybe it's an outward and visible sign with how we engage with the rest of the world in general, our neighbors in general, and creation in general. We're able to be patient in this context. Perhaps we can be patient elsewhere, or vice versa. Now, I want to be clear that I don't think James, by patient, means be a doormat. I don't think he means just keep on smiling while someone kicks you in the pants, that don't object to injustice done to you or to others. That clearly is not the example of Jesus. That clearly is not the example of Paul. I don't think it's the example of James either. Rather, I want to suggest that the patience that James is talking about, holy patience, the patience of Jesus, is where we do name injustice, where we do name that which is wrong, that which is unfair, but we do so in a way where we remember that the one with whom we are engaging, we remember that our neighbor is as complex as we are, as contradictory as we are, as well-intended, as doing their best as we are, and maybe most importantly, as beloved by God as we are. These days, I still do sometimes talk to people on the road who've made a decision that I didn't like a whole lot, but I talk to them in a very different way than I did at age 18 or 20. And the reason is, what I noticed over the years is that when people spoke to me in an accusatory way, when they spoke to me with sarcasm, with profanity, when they told me what was happening in my head, when they told me about my motivations, it became very difficult indeed for me to listen to those folks. I just kind of immediately closed up like a turtle, and all of my energy went into defending myself. The possibility that I would learn anything, even if their complaint was kind of valid, was really diminished. So these days I will still occasionally say to someone, "Hey, that's a stop sign," or "Could you shoulder check, please?" Once in a blue moon, someone will speak back to me. Every now and again, someone will wonderfully say, "Oh, I'm sorry," which actually is a wonderful human connection, which doesn't happen that often on the asphalt. I don't know if, on the whole, this practice is making much difference. There's no scientist who can go examine what people are like after they have an encounter with Martin, the relatively polite bicyclist. But whether it's changing anyone else in the world, I do know that it's changing me. I get to my destination with far lower blood pressure, with a happier attitude towards humanity in general. If absolutely nothing else, the patience that James is talking about makes me walk a little lighter in the world. And I trust and I believe that changes things, that assuming my neighbor is complex and contradictory and trying their best and beloved of God changes things. What if we were able to engage with the world in general with this kind of holy patience? So not just on the roads, but in matters of politics, To look at the news, to look at Twitter, is to find out that we very rarely assume that our neighbor is complex and contradictory and well-intended and beloved of God. Twitter in particular is an exercise in aggressive accusation of assuming the worst intentions in our neighbor. What if we were able to engage generously and patiently? Again, not excusing that which is unjust, not excusing evil, still calling evil out, still resisting it, but doing so in a way that is full of love for our neighbor, that is full of respect for the dignity of every human being, including those who are doing things that we think are wrong. That has changed me as a bicyclist, as a driver, and maybe can change us as citizens, as human beings. Maybe holy patience is something that, if we practice it long enough and well enough, will change not just ourselves, but could change the world.